just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 734. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my super duper guest co-host, Mr. Jim Lindsay.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this sucker on every hot day over 100 degrees at koop.org. Don't go away.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Whatever happened to please, may I?
It is Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023. On the show today, we have Zach Theater and their show Head Over Heels. Then later on, we'll be talking to Ken Webster of Hyde Park Theater and their production of Caught by Christopher Chen. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and the high seas of the Caribbean. We'll be right back.
Whatever happened to old Val?
Okay, this song is kind of depressing, so I'm just going to let it fade out. Jim Lindsay.
Lisa Sheps.
You're here with me.
Right here.
For the, well, not the first time to be on the show.
Not the first.
You've been on the show many, many times, but it's the first time for you to be in the co-pilot seat.
I am, yes.
Thank
the
God,
because
oftentimes I pass out and the co-pilot has to take over. So,
well, I'm standing and I hope I don't pass out.
So that's a good thing. So, Jim Lindsay, tell folks who you are.
My name is Jim Lindsay. I'm a local theater artist. And let's see, why would I have been on your show before? Let's see, I directed Pageant back in the spring.
You did.
You're at the wonderful, beloved Ground Floor Theater.
One little piece of your set is sitting on my theater's floor right at this very moment.
Oh,
yeah,
do I need to go pick that up?
We're using the the little rolling cart that y'all used for, I forgot what it was called, Pleasure J?
Oh, Glamorous.
Glamorous, that's it.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you. You are thanked in the program. Awesome, yeah. Wonderful director, wonderful performer. You've performed in several shows for Ground Floor Theater.
Yes, ma'am.
And you, what else do you do?
By day, I work in energy and engineering. I do sales.
E&E, we like to call that,
yeah,
in business.
E&E. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For a larger corporation.
An LC. Yep. Well, good. I'm so happy to have you here on the show. And
thanks for having me.
Have
it's
a great
exciting.
Time. I think so.
Yes.
I
worked
so.
Out.
Do you have anything that's up and coming that you can talk about?
I do. I'll be directing. It's only a play for City Theater, which will go up.
Okay. It's only a play. What is it?
Well, it's only a play is what
well,
it is.
Third base.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be in the fall.
Awesome. Yeah. At City Theater. That's great. Yeah. We'll have you on the show. Let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with us. We have Jill C. Holmes. Hi, Jill.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
We have Stephanie Jones.
Hi.
And this, have you not been on the show before?
I have not.
Yay, welcome. We didn't get to say hello because you zipped in and went right to the microphone.
Yes.
Well, good. Well, we'll learn about each other as we go along. And Ryan Everett Wood.
That is me.
Welcome, welcome to the show.
Thank
also
you so
a
much.
Newcomer to the show. So we have lots of things to talk about. But first, I just want to say, you know, that the song that we were listening to, the dulcet tones of Bebe Neuwirth singing from a little show called Chicago.
Never heard of it.
And I don't know that if y'all saw in the New York Times, which
well.
Is a company, that's the paper I read. they have done an Arabic adaptation of Chicago. And
wow.
I just thought that was funny. It debuted at the Casino du Liban in May, and it had a sold-out run, and they extended.
Wow.
But what was funny is they had to go through a lot of things to adapt it to, like they changed all the names, and they had to do a lot. What I found interesting is what they had to do. Oh, here's a picture for those of you in the studio audience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it looks really pretty. They had to do a lot of, you know, Concord Theatricals, who controls the rights, mm-hmm. you know, said you can't change any of the words.
Right.
You can't change any things as they always do, those of us who are doing it. But they had to, let me see. Oh, yeah. This is a quote from the article, which was written by Sarah Aridi. And it says, quote, "Yet even with the commonalities, reinterpreting the musical was a complicated process because of the strict guidelines that accompany licenses from Concord Theatricals. The Arabic version had to stay true to the original storyline. Characters could not be added or removed, and neither could songs. And the Lebanese team was required to give the adaptation entirely new choreography, which was originally by Bob Fosse, and direction." Ooh. And I did not realize, I mean, after I read this, I'd assume that anybody that does Chicago is giving it new choreography. But evidently, yeah. a lot of people reuse Bob's choreography.
Well, I have a question about lyrics. Did it say anything about changing lyrics?
Well, they had to translate them into Lebanese. And then, of course, you've got rhyming that you've got to do.
It's an art form, yeah.
But they here's some of this is that I found kind of fun. So here are the Arabic names for the lead characters. Velma is Selma, which, of course, rhymes with Velma.
That helps.
Roxy Hart is Nancy Narr. And that alludes to a Lebanese pop star who I'm sure we all know. I don't even need to say her
Spotify.
Name, but it's,
yeah.
I will for the listening audience. Nancy Ajram. And then Billy Flynn becomes Wal Kor. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that properly, but his last name means free. Amos becomes Amin. Okay. Which means faithful, which I think is good. Yeah.
Fitting.
Totally fitting. And then Little Mary Sunshine becomes Nur El Shams, which translates to the light of the sun.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's interesting. And you can read this entire. Here's another picture.
Oh,
yeah, it's like very.
Don't you people listening wish you could see this right now? Well, you can. If you go to offstageonair.com, we will post all this, but it's on the New York Times. You can see it there as well. Just Google it. But I did not know this. Did y'all know this, that Lebanon is considered one of the most liberal countries in the Arab world?
I did not know that.
Which is why they're producing Chicago.
I was really trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
And especially if it extended, that must be quite a popular hit. So
yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That's good. I wish I had that secret.
Just take it, you know.
I'm gonna do all my shows now in Arabic.
Yeah.
So we do have some sad news, and this really saddens me, is Ron Cephas Jones passed away. At 66, he's just 1 year older than me, and it's a most people will know him, and actually indeed I learned of him from This Is Us. Mm-hmm. One of the best shows in the world. But he had a pulmonary condition for a long time. In 2020, he had a double lung transplant, which
Oh,
I
wow.
did.
Wow. My goodness.
Yeah. And he's got a history of homelessness and drug addiction. If you read the article, the obituary, it talks about his seesawing from addiction to recovery, addiction to recovery, which is typical for addicts. But most notably for theater audiences, he was in Clyde's, got a Tony nomination for it. Don't want a log roll, but Clyde's is part of the 2024 season of Ground Floor Theater this year. So we're really excited about doing that. So he was in Clyde's, and the New York Times in their review called him the show's transfixing center of gravity.
Well, that's nice. Very
sweet. He was supposed to be amazing in that show. And indeed, if you've has anybody read or seen Clyde's?
I have not. No.
The role he plays, I just recently read it, you know, because we were doing it. I did not see it, but Clyde, that was played by Uzo Aduba, in my opinion, is not the most is not the lead role. It's really the Ron Cephas Jones character, and I forgot his name, who really sort of
the sandwich maker.
The sandwich maker, but he has a name, and I can't remember what it was. But he makes sandwiches. But he was really, to me, that character is the glue that holds the whole show together. He was also, he played the lead role in Richard III. I don't know what character he played.
Solid.
That's funny. But he did. He did that at the Public Theater. But I mean, what a loss! Oh, look at him. This is a picture of him in The Tempest as Prospero, I believe.
Oh, nice.
A modern retelling of it, obviously. And then, of course, his daughter is Jasmine Cephas Jones, who was in Hamilton. And if you saw the pro tape of that, she's just, I know, Stephanie just held her heart and gasped out, I have to, because it's radio. But yeah, wasn't she amazing? Although the character, and I forgot the name of the character in the second act, did not like her. Do you know the character's name?
In Hamilton?
That she played.
When she does that double role thing.
Yeah, yeah. She played Peggy.
Right.
Adorable.
It's Peggy's other. Yeah.
And she plays the.
And then
the,
she plays
the woman that
mistress.
The mistress.
Yeah, I forgot her name.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway. Didn't like
someone
her.
On air is screaming it at us right now.
Yeah, I know. and that's
the worst
probably
theater
that.
People ever.
But rest in peace, Ron Cephas Jones.
Wow.
That's amazing. Once Upon a One More Time. Who's a fan of Britney?
I know. Well, obviously.
Well, everybody just groaned. I guess you know what I'm going to say.
I sure do.
Bad news. Such sad news.
I'm surprised. So it is closing. It announced it's closing Labor Day weekend. And I'm personally, I mean, I haven't seen it. I don't know anything about it. I'm surprised. It did not get good notices at all. I'm surprised it lasted as long
as
it did.
Thumbs down.
Yeah.
It'll
but it's
close.
I actually wanted to see.
Yeah, I know.
I was there this summer and I didn't have time to see it, but it looked like super fun.
Yeah,
it was one of those. It was one of those that when I saw it was happening, I was kind of like, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, I feel like I need to see it to know about it.
Yeah.
And then you know the reviews were not maybe the best, but which inevitably is why it's closing. But then every single person that I know that has seen that show was like, I've never had that much fun at a show in a long time.
Well, that's like I saw. Oh God. With the ABBA musical.
Oh.
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia. When it first
opened. You may have heard of it.
And it was like, I did not like the show, but it was impossible not to have fun.
Of course.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, they were, I think, maybe the first. They couldn't have been the first, but it's now just done. They built in the standing ovation into the show. They made it happen.
You will stand up. You will love
you
this.
You will. Exactly. So that's kind of probably the same deal. Obviously, well, not obviously, it is a jukebox musical. It reimagines... The fairy tales. What's another show that's done that kind of thing? Can't think of it. If it did, it won't go anywhere. But when it closes, it will have run for 42 previews and 81 performances. 42 previews.
That's a lot of previews.
The show I did on Broadway, we had, I think, 16 previews.
Yeah,
we did
2 weeks.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then we did.
And that was back when you got cheaper tickets.
Then we did two performances. And gone. Yeah, that's why I'm here in Austin. But anyway, that will close. Sorry, did I say that out loud? All right, I got to watch the time because there's some stuff I want to talk about. Oh, I just saw this in the lobby. I didn't even put it in the script. In American Theater Magazine, which I love, they've got, I don't know if this is the first of their... I don't know if this is the first of this series, but they're going to be doing a series of these. It's called Six Theater Workers You Should Know. And it, in this case, it is talking about people that work in the DMV. Extra points if anybody knows what that means.
The DMV. Like the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Yeah, no, that's
mine.
What you would say if you were in Texas.
Of course.
But no, it's Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia.
Oh, well.
What?
I know.
Oh.
Never
should've
heard
known.
Of it either.
Okay.
So, but they feature six theater workers, and it's not necessarily actors.
Love
so,
that.
Wow. And mostly not actors. I know. I just went through them really quick, but they had actors, dramaturgs, designers,
prop coordinators. Yeah, that's
yeah, amazing. All these different people, and it's you know, and it's
is it like a weekly thing
area.
Or what? Are
I do not know. I think this is the first one, but they do say if you have, I'll just read this. This is the thing that. Talks about it ahead of time. By the way, the article is written by Amelia Merrill. It says, our newest edition spotlights theater workers in the DMV. That's Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. That's how
we
know.
Now we know.
For those not in the know, if you would like to recommend a theater artist from anywhere for a future roll call, fill out our Google form. So anybody wants to mention the five people in this room?
Yeah, right?
We could all be in the spotlight. Next issue. So I think that that would be pretty cool. Has anybody seen Theater Camp?
Oh, no. It's on my list, but I haven't seen it yet.
Well, guess what? You're going to love this, Jill.
Tell me.
It's going to streaming. It's
going
to be at Hulu.
Oh,
wow.
Because I didn't see it either. I'm going to try to find the date right here because it's on my computer.
Yeah, I went down a rabbit hole of it.
September 14th.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, I can't soon. Wait.
Just so around the corner.
This is the, totally forgot his name. Dear Evan Hansen.
Ben Platt.
Ben Platt and the other. Oh, and it's written right here. And Molly Gordon put this together. Mm-hmm. And it's got people like Noah Galvin, who is also a Dear Evan Hansen, amongst other people. I want to see it.
Isn't that his fiance or partner or something? I think they're
yes.
together. I think so.
Maybe. Right? I don't know.
They were both Evan Hansen's. And yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
they were. It's yeah. the Evan Hansen show in their
yeah.
apartment. Which I'm sure they have a lovely one in New York.
I'm sure they do. Yeah,
so September 14th, we'll all meet at my house. We'll watch it.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Okay, we're coming up to... All right, we have to talk about this first. There is a musical coming to Broadway people are very excited about and has a little bit of a Austin connection as
yes,
well.
Yes, it does.
And that is The Outsiders. Mm-hmm. It is going to start previews at the Bernie Jacobs Theater, who I have met, by the way. Not wow. the theater, but the actual person. oops, I dropped a name.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you dropped something there.
It starts previews on the 16th of March and opens on April 11th. And that's like 3 weeks of previews. I've never seen the movie or read the book.
Oh, wow. It's like eighth grade standard reading.
Oh, good.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
yes. Yes.
Oh, thank
it was,
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Me either. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I had to read it.
Oh, you did read it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You had to read it.
Had to.
But, I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, okay. Standard reading in eighth grade in the yes. tri-state area. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, not for me. But also making her Broadway debut as the lead producer is Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Who we all know her as Jennifer.
Yeah, we're like, there's some woman named Jennifer.
So this has got a book by Adam Rapp, and we're hearing a lot about Adam Rapp lately. I don't know why. He's all
over
the place.
It's a real exciting sounding show.
And Justin Levine. Mm-hmm. It is a real exciting show. It's directed by Danya Taymor, who I think has relations with
Julie yeah. Taymor's daughter.
Daughter. That's what yeah. I thought. Mm-hmm. I meant to look it up and I forgot. I knew. And among the list of producers, which of course in today's day of Broadway producers, there's you need an
lengthy.
Extra page in the program for yeah. just the producers. But ATX Random, which is a local group of people here that produce Broadway shows.
Yes. Oh. And Francis Ford Coppola is one of the lead producers.
And Francis Ford Coppola, yeah. amongst other. I'm surprised yeah. they didn't even. And, you know, and Rose Maxey. Don't know who that is. But what about it excites you?
Well, I love it because it's literary. And having been I'm a recovering English teacher, so love the fact that it's literary because to me, shows that... come from books that young kids read will often have lives after Broadway. And that means I'm excited to see not only what's going to happen with the show on Broadway, sure it's going to be fabulous, but tours and locals and camps and things like that. It will have a great life after, even after Broadway.
Amazing. Well, it's good. Certainly got a good pedigree of folks involved with it. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. So, now we got to talk about the ongoing onslaught of negative news around theater. And before I say anything, I have to just mention that the views expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily that of co-op, its board of directors or staff, just merely our little bitty people's minds and views. But several things have happened. I subscribed to a thing called the Onstage Blog by Christopher Peterson. And he's been showing a lot of stuff. But this is another thing. In our lovely state of Texas, the ACLU has filed suit against a school in North Texas because they banned trans and gender nonconforming people from joining the Texas Girls Choir.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The school board passed new choir eligibility policy that forces students to perform with a choir that aligns with their sex assignation at birth. This was in direct opposition to the choir master, who evidently is quite well known and a very good teacher. But once again, they're just being bullies and hateful and spiteful. Mm-hmm. But the ACLU is fighting it, as they are SB 14 here. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's under Title IX civil rights violations. But it's just, they also, the same school board, banned trans and non-binary students from using the restroom that aligns with the sex that they
identify with.
Mm-hmm. And it explicitly permits teachers, staff, and students to purposefully misgender transgender non-binary students.
It's like they're going out of their way to make it even harder and even worse. It's just,
it's
mind blowing.
Yeah, it's mind blowing. As a matter of fact, I was scrolling through TikTok today, and up came the interview that John Stewart did with the governor or whoever that was doing an anti-trans bill,
right.
And he's talking about, you know what the leading killer of children are, and it's guns. Not drag queens.
Not exactly. People who read and
yeah,
right, exactly.
It's just amazing that wow. just continues to go on. And then I thought I had one more issue around that, but I don't. But that just keeps happening, and we continually fight in most of the theaters I know here in Austin, the people around this city. I will allow any drag performance in my theater at any time, and I will suffer the consequences at any time. The other thing we don't have time to talk about it, but the other thing that I was going to talk about was things like the financial hit that theaters are getting right now in the state of Texas and around the country. The Public in San Antonio just ceased their 23-24 season. That just happened, I think, today or yesterday. ART, it's not the ART I'm thinking of, in Omaha, Artist Repertory Theater, suspended its season. There's an article about Chicago, and it goes through a litany of theaters that have closed since the pandemic. And it seems like I talk about this every week, and how stressful it is to run a theater company,
and a theater building.
Just it's so hard to get funding. People are not not as generous with their money. People have not decided to come back to theater. And actually, one of the things that came here that we've talked about, never really. There's so much good television.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there's so much good television that people are going, I'm just watching TV.
I don't have to leave my house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's kind of sad.
Go to the theater.
Go to the theater, you guys.
Please. Because there's a lot the Public of San Antonio, they were doing such wonderful work.
And they will again. New artistic director that just came in is evidently doing this to try to, they're raising money so that they can stay in business.
Good.
So hopefully they will again. But the Public Theater in its current life and in its former life, it's been pretty fraught. It's had some issues.
And COVID certainly didn't help what was already a vulnerable
true.
Industry.
Anything this with a low true. Margin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thin
yeah.
margins are bad.
That's all right. True. Well, with that, this is a perfect opportunity. We're going to listen to a song from a show called Harry Nielsen's The Point. And this is called Think About Your Troubles. We'll be right back.
He died and left his body.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Jim Lindsay and my wonderful crew of people who I'm just about to reintroduce as they talk about their show Head Over Heels, now playing at a theater called Zach Theater in Austin, Texas. Welcome back to the show, Jill C. Holmes.
Yes, hello, or formerly known as Jill Blackman.
Okay, we can't talk about that. I was told explicitly I couldn't say that. Jill Blackwood, folks. Everybody knows Jill Blackwood. And Stephanie Jones, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here.
And I'm glad you're here. And Ryan Everett Wood.
Hello.
Y'all are here to talk about Head Over Heels. You're just going to go and talk about that, right?
Yeah, well, we're here. We're doing it.
I saw what you did there.
We're performing at the Zach Theater here. We're here until September 10th. Shows run Wednesday to Sunday, so plenty of opportunities to come out and see us shake it around and music of the Go-Go's with Kathy Valentine.
Yeah, with one of the Go-Go's.
The Go-Go, yes. Go-Go. Bass player, yes. Herself. Yeah. She's our fearless music director, leader. She's leading the band. She built this really cool band of all female, just rock and roll ladies. They're incredible.
Yes.
And they lead us on stage every night.
I have
They're
such
actually,
a girl crush on all of
them.
Oh
my God. They're incredible.
They're what you want to come see. I mean, we're great, but you really want to come see this show for that band.
I have to tell you, just a quick tangent, Ground Floor Theater did Unexpected Joy, which is an all-female production. We hired an all-female band. The way to go.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
In all cases. It's just wonderful. This is a jukebox musical.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Featuring songs from the Go-Go's, yes, as we discussed. Is there a plot? What's the show about?
Well, it's a family that lives in a town called Arcadia. And I play the queen. Ryan plays the king. And we're trying to marry off our daughters.
Story of my life.
Yes. And in the process, we get a message from an oracle who kind of sends us on a journey. And but it almost, I feel like the plot almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like the show is just so fun. It's just pure fun.
Yeah, it's really like, it's a lot about self-discovery. You know, this oracle comes out of nowhere, which it's already, we're in this sort of mythological kind of land of this kingdom Arcadia, and it's ruled by your standard straight white man.
That never happens.
Never. wouldn't know what that even looked like. So it's run by this, you know, standard straight white man who is loud and everything has to be his way, and until this king understands how to actually listen to the people around him, they're going to lose what they love around them. So it's a lot of self-discovery. Every single character has to sort of go through a transition, a kind of a full array of emotions to figure out like how to actually pick up the pieces and find something new and beautiful out of this. So
yeah, it's kind of a journey of self-acceptance and acceptance of each other.
Oh. And self-discovery.
Yeah. And Dave... His idea...
Would be Dave Stakely.
Yes, Dave Stakely, his director, mm-hmm, was especially, you know, the Go-Go's music. To him, it's like a summer beach party.
It is indeed.
And so the set is very reflective of that. We've got a lot of, inflatables on the stage, which sounds crazy, but when you see it, it's beautiful. So
I've seen pictures. It looks lovely.
Yes, with the lighting.
Is there any sand?
No sand. So I did a show once with sand, and I don't know. There seemed to be a lot of kiddies that would visit. Anyway, there's no sand.
So we know that Jill and Ryan play the king and queen. Stephanie, what do you play?
I play the role of Pamela.
Pamela.
Yes, I am their eldest daughter.
Princess Pamela.
Princess Pamela. And she
and a
is...
a princess indeed.
Oh, she's definitely a princess. She's very self-confident and aware of her beauty. And on a journey, well, the parents are on a journey to find me a suitor.
You were the erstwhile princess.
And it's been 5 years and we still haven't found one.
The perfect male suitor.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're like,
well,
come
on, you should cast a wider net. Why do you have to just go for guys? Just saying. So what are some of the songs that that y'all sing that people will know and want to hear again?
Well, the great thing about the show, there's a lot of the big hits, you mm-hmm. know, that people who know the Go-Go's will love, or even if you don't know the Go-Go's will love. But then there's some that maybe weren't the radio hits, so some newer ones you'll get to hear. But we do sing Head Over Heels,
which is good because that's in the title.
Yes. We Got the Beat.
Yes.
Vacation, which is super fun. Some of those big hits. And then Ryan and I actually get to sing kind of a bluesy duet that you may not have heard.
Called This Old Feeling.
This Old Feeling. Heaven is a place on earth.
It's definitely there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's what's so interesting. Kathy mentioned Kathy Valentine. Again, shameless plug, original Go-Go herself. It's been so cool working with her and having her sort of tell us about some of the songs that were written, and a lot of them are like kind of B-side tracks that weren't necessarily huge hits. So she's like, I mean, I think there's one song in the show, Here We Are. It's the one ballad in the show. This absolutely whole show gorgeous moves. We are like, we're having a party. It's a great time.
Let's not bring it down with a ballad.
Right. There really is only one ballad in
Jeff
the show.
Jeff Whitty, who did the book, was like very adamant that we want to get this moving. But then when you have one ballad, it makes it that much more powerful. And so it's this beautiful song, Here You Are.
Yes.
And, It's the whole cast is on stage, beautiful harmonies. It's this very touching moment. And it's a song that Kathy, I think it was this song that she said they never actually played live ever. So this is amazing. The first time she's actually strung the bass live in front of people to this exact song. So it's cool. You'll hear some songs that you're not familiar with, but definitely we have, you know, the songs
really,
will come on.
It's like part rock concert, party, musical theater production.
That's so much fun. I'm so embarrassed to say that I sat the 80s out musically. Mm-hmm. And my introduction to their music was I did what we call industrial theaters where mm-hmm. we do stuff to their music. And I go, well, that sounds interesting. Who are they?
Yep.
The Go-Go's. Oh, I don't even know what that means. but that's great. And your musical director is Alan Robertson. I've heard of him.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what a genius.
He's a genius, yeah. So he was... you know, the cast and vocal music director, and also gave some guidance to the band. And Kathy was the musical director for the band.
For the band,
pulled together this group of incredible musicians that we get to sing with every night.
So is the band on stage?
Yes, they are
right
part
there with us.
Of
front
it.
And center.
Oh, they're
right
part
on
of
stage.
It. Okay.
There are moments where Kathy and her guitarist, Yves Monse, come down and join the action with us and are at the edge of the stage.
Jamming.
Yeah.
And those nights where we have the go-go diehards, they go crazy. And it's really fun.
So, you know, Zach is probably the only theater in town that can do some of the stuff with the toys that we all want to have to play with, mm-hmm. like Noises Off, Had a Turntable. Mm-hmm. Are there any fun things in this show, technically speaking, that people are going to want to see?
Oh, yes.
Well, sorry.
Uh-oh.
There's like over 900 light cues. I mean, the lighting itself on all of these inflatables is so beautiful. We have a trap door and one of the characters comes up through. And
yeah, I think the lighting design is, like you pointed out, it's like a rock concert. It's like that light that's front and center on the bandstand, like shining onto the house. Like it's
bright.
That's definitely a big part. But yeah, we do have a trap that opens and closes. We have some very dramatic entrances from our incredible character Pythio. Mm-hmm.
And I should say that Sarah Maines is the lighting designer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And a projections designer is Christopher Evans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also some really cool projections going
incredible.
On in the back with some really fun art of like introducing, you know, kind of like he wanted to have that idea of like an 80s music video where it pops up like the name and some rendering drawing of the character and like their name going scrolling across the bottom when we introduce everyone in the show, and it goes from the band to the cast, and it's really fun.
That is amazing. Now, y'all have been playing for a while.
A couple weeks now. We opened 2 weeks ago.
So other than the go-go fans that just love it, how's everybody else feeling about it?
I just feel like, you know, even if you're not a fan of jukebox musicals, if you don't think this is your taste, you will absolutely have fun.
Even people
I know, like some of my older relatives who maybe didn't know the Go-Go's, this is not another thing, they were on their feet laughing. Just what everyone says is, we had so much fun. My face hurts from smiling.
Yes.
Sometimes you want to just go to a Check Your Brains at the Door musical.
Yeah,
exactly. But it does
but
have a very sweet, positive message. But overall, it's just fun. It's Check Your Brain.
Do you have audience members who are vibing out 80s style? Like, do they come dressed 80s?
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
The stories.
And I didn't realize how many like diehard go-go fans there are.
Yeah.
And we've had some of those. There was a guy who came, and Kathy Valentine recognized him because she had been to so many of their concerts on the front row.
My God.
So every once in a while, we'll get people like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. Great. So I know you have an ASL performance on September 6th that mm-hmm. folks should want if they would like to go hear an American Sign Language interpreted performances. When do y'all close? How long do y'all? How much more do you have?
We close on September 10th.
September 10th.
Yes. So we have 3 more weekends.
Great. And where can folks go to get more information?
www.asl.org. ZachTheater.org, yeah. I believe. Awesome.
Yeah, you are correct.
Okay.
Well, thank you all so much for being on the show. This was a lot of fun. I wish I could have some more time, but we got to go.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. That was Jill C. Holmes, née Blackwood, Stephanie Jones, and Ryan Everett Wood of Zach Theater's production of Head Over Heels. Plays now through September. I didn't write it down. Help me.
10th.
And for more information, zachtheater.org. And this is actually a song from this production, and this is Vacation. Who sings Vacation?
This is Mopsa, played by Hannah Wilson. She's
Hannah
incredible.
Wilson. Here it
Hannah
is.
Hannah Lauren Wilson.
Hannah Lauren, Hannah Lauren Wilson, for three God's names. Sakes. Here she is. And we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Jim. And we are joined by the indomitable, I don't even know what that means, but it always sounds good, Ken Webster from Hyde Park Theater.
Hello.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had. Well, we're not going to talk about your stuff right now. We're just going to talk about what's going on in general in Austin right now. And then we will take a break and talk about all the goings on at Hyde Park Theater. So I want to mention again, we talked about it a little bit last week when I'm going to come up with a Brian Cheslick was our co-host. Brian is the artistic director of Deaf Austin Theater, and they are opening the Laramie Project at Ground Floor Theater in about a week and a half. I'm going to try to get them on the show next week. But This is a fact that I did not know. Laramie Project is done quite a bit all over the country.
Very popular.
It has never, ever, ever been done in American Sign Language. This is the very first time it has been translated into American Sign Language in a professional production.
That's groundbreaking. And
high school,
good,
yeah.
Good
but it's
stuff,
really big. So
stuff.
Much so that Moises Kaufman was really involved in it and Judy Shepard and her husband, I forget his name, are coming to the show. So there'll be a talk
excellent.
Back with them. But it should be very, very interesting. And again, we hope to have them on the show next week. They are the September 7th through 16th at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, you can go to deafaustintheater.org. Now playing in amongst the city of Austin, Jenna and the Whale, our last weekend at Ground Floor Theater. We close on the 26th. Information, groundfloortheater.org. You just heard from Head Over Heels, from Zach. They play to September 10th, as you just learned. Out in Lakeway, TexArts is doing 9 to 5. They close this weekend, August 27th. Picnic at City Theater plays through the 3rd of September. And we talked about this again last week, and I talked to somebody that actually went to see it. This is
that would be me.
Oh, it was you. I remember I talked to somebody. Well, good. Los Negros Pajaros del Adios, the Blackbirds of Farewell, the Chambers Theater in Buda, which I had never heard of. But do you want to say anything about it, Jim?
I'd be happy to talk about the Chambers Theater. Haven't been there before. Imagine kind of your town square, revitalized sort of vibe. Couple of restaurants across the street. Really nice community center with theater inside. And the theater space itself is quite pretty.
Yep.
Beautiful ceiling. And I did get to see the show, which is all in Spanish, but does have... reader subtitles.
Okay.
So that's super helpful. Mm-hmm. But very much enjoyed the show. And I was very pleased to see a show that it's all in Spanish to be sold out. So
oh, awesome.
It's very full.
How big is their house? Is it the size of Hyde Park Theater?
It's about 2X. 2X Hyde Park. So probably seats about 80, 90.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you can get information at inspiredminds.art. And then we're going to be talking to him. He's sitting right here. But Hyde Park Theater is doing a production of Caught, which closes on September 23rd and opens tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, more about that later. I don't know if I missed anything. Anything else locally that I missed? I put this one together fast today. Well, let's just jump right into today in theater history. Interestingly enough, you know, and summer is not I heard or read or saw something. You know, summer is typically not very active in theater around the country, specifically in New York and Broadway. But there's been a bunch of openings this summer, more so than normal.
And a bunch of closings.
And a bunch of closings. Well, I think closings are normal for the summer.
Yeah.
But that's kind of interesting. But that sort of speaks to today in theater history. I have nothing about any productions, only birthdays.
Yeah.
All right. Marion Seldes.
Marion Seldes. Yeah, yes. I saw her on Broadway. Yeah.
You did? What'd you see her in?
Deuce with Angela Lansbury.
There you go. Yes.
Actually, I saw her in Death Trap as well in the 70s. Yeah,
I was just talking about Death Trap. Death Trap is being done by...
Oh, yes.
David Jarrett Productions.
Jarrett Productions. Mm-hmm. And I knew one of the original stage managers on Broadway. He's a very dear friend of mine. Gene Kelly.
Yes.
Nice. Born in 1912. Charles Bush.
The writer, yes.
I don't know if I've seen this kind of picture of him because he's normally he's normally done up. Yeah. Andrew Rannells. And Leroy Reams, past guest on Ground Floor, on Offstage and on the Air. So that's that. That is Today in Theater History. We're going to take a break. We're going to listen to Leroy Reams and Andrew Rannells before we come back. So we'll be right back with Ken Webster and the goings-on at Hyde Park Theater after this. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Leroy Reams, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM. I
believe that was Andrew Rannells singing Rannells, who has an Austin connection. He performed Hedwig at Zach Theater when they first did it here in Austin, Texas. You looked surprised when I said that.
I did.
You know that. Everything.
I know a lot of stuff, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was in Hedwig here before my time. I think it happened before I moved here, so prior to the turn of the century, as we like to say in the business. Well, let's officially welcome Ken Webster of Hyde Park Theater, who is also the director of the show we're going to talk about, which is Caught by Christopher Chen.
Yes.
Looks like an amazing piece of theater. Tell us about it.
Oh, it is. And there's a lot of spoilers, so I can only tell you up to a certain point what it's about. But we're going to turn Hyde Park Theater into a pop-up art gallery. And we've invited Chinese dissident artist Lin Bo to show his work at this pop-up art gallery. And he's going to give a little presentation and tell his story. He was imprisoned in a Chinese prison for 2 years for a single work of art that he did. And after the 2 year sentence, he comes to America, and they've written an article about him in the New Yorker, and he's got a book coming out, a memoir coming out. And he gives a little presentation at the Hyde Park Theater. And as it continues, there are lots of surprises and twists and turns.
Well, you've piqued my interest. This is installation art,
yes. And this production, although it doesn't sound very funny, is incredibly funny. And some of the twists and turns will just
surprise and delight.
Yes. I first came across this play 5 or 6 years ago, and I was very excited about it. But it's really smart and not your typical theater production.
Right.
So I panicked and thought, my audience will hate this, it's too strange. It's too smart. But I reread it a few months ago, and I fell in love with it again. We've assembled a really, really great cast for the show.
Right, and that brings me to my next point or question. As you describe it here, it sounds to me like a one-person show, but it's not. You have a cast of five?
We have a cast of four.
Okay, and, I was close.
Well, no, that's I know why you say that, because we list Mary Vo, who's the female understudy among the cast, and she's also the assistant director for the show.
Who's she directing? Who's she assisting?
She's assisting myself.
Excellent.
And she's doing a fantastic job.
So why why caught right now?
It is very timely. A lot of it deals with, you know, in the old days.
The olden days?
The olden days.
Things were rotten back then.
Americans could pretty much agree on what was true and what was not.
Yeah.
And this play is a lot about that, about what's truth. My version of truth, your version of truth. You know, we have a news network that just... They report things that just aren't true.
Well, they utilize alternative facts.
Yes. Yes.
As they see them.
It's really timely. And he wrote this back in 2015 or 2016, right, before that it became quite so widespread, the disagreement over what actual truth might be.
Sure. So tell me about some of the other characters in the show, other than the dissident artist.
We have Rebecca Robinson plays a writer for The New Yorker who has done a profile on him.
I've not heard of that actor, but I'm sure she's fine.
She's an up-and-comer. I think she's got a lot of potential. And Robert Pearson plays her editor, Bob. And Esther Park plays... a Chinese artist named Wan Ming, and Norman Tran, who's the first person, when I read this 5-6 years ago, he was the first person I thought of to play Lin Bo, the dissident artist. And he is indeed playing Lin Bo and doing a crackerjack job.
Good. Well, and I happen to like Cracker Jacks, except the prizes aren't any good anymore.
Oh, I know. They're terrible.
Remember back in the day, they were good prizes.
They're substantial. Yeah.
Well, that sounds good. Is this a two-act play, a one-act play?
One act.
One act. We love them that way.
Yep. It's like, yeah, the new playwrights are not writing as many plays with intermissions.
Well, it's, you know, not to go off the subject, but, you know, our attention spans have gotten shorter and shorter. I mean, back in the day, you'd go sit in the theater for 3, sometimes 4 hours and be perfectly fine. But that, you know, I wouldn't want that right now.
Yeah.
So 90 minutes seems to be the way to go. So what, are you taking any, what's your approach to this show as a director? I mean, I know we were sort of talking about the immersiveness of it. What else are you, how else are you approaching this piece of work?
We've got a really great design team that's worked incredibly well together. Mark Bakel is doing the set. Amy Lewis is doing the lights. Robert S. Fisher is doing the sound and video. And they are all working in tandem. You'd think that we'd been meeting together for 2 years. I mean, everybody's on the same page, and they're helping to create quite an experience. And I can't emphasize enough, there are so many twists and turns. This is going to be a play where people are going to go to Hyde Park Bar and Grill or the Parlor afterwards and
talk about it.
And talk about it.
Well, that's a great idea. You should be talking to Hyde Park and the Parlor about like doing some stuff.
Yeah.
But you do. Hyde Park Bar and Grill is one of your sponsors, are they not?
They have been in the past. We've got a bunch of great neighborhood sponsors now. Some of the new businesses that are opening, the new bookstore, and the tiny grocer are advertising in the program this time around. And Julio's, who's been around 1 year less than the Hyde Park Theater. Yeah. We've been neighbors for a long time.
So yeah, I know. And speaking of that, you and I talked before. When did Hyde Park Theater come into existence?
It became a live theater in 1982.
Yeah.
It was built in 1947 as the Hyde Park Post Office.
Oh, that makes sense. It looks like a post office, kind of. Mm-hmm. It has that vibe.
There were, around Texas after the war, there were a bunch of buildings with that same floor plan that popped up all over the place.
And now they're all theaters.
Yes, they're all live theaters.
Thank God. So you open tomorrow.
Yes.
Dress rehearsal tonight?
Yeah, we're doing an invited dress tonight. And I'm excited for outsiders to see it. It's strange and wonderful.
Yeah. How long do y'all play? When do you close?
We run for 5 weekends through September 23rd.
Oh, that's great. You're going
to... Just weekends.
It might be... just weekends. Might be under 100 degrees by the time you close.
We hope so.
Well, Ken Webster, thank you so much for being on the show. Oh, can you? What's next after this one?
Oh, we are bringing back Zell
Birdie?
Miller. Yes, we're bringing back Zell Miller's amazing show, Chronicles of an Indigenous Offspring.
I am so I actually saw Zell last night, and I told him I was sorry I missed his show. He says, well, we're going to bring it back, but he didn't give me any details. And so
it opens on October 12th and runs through 4 weeks later.
Oh, that's great. Is it already on your site? What can folks get information?
The tickets are available. If you go to the website now and click the link for tickets for Caught, you can also get tickets for that. For Zell's show.
Well, amazing. Well, Ken Webster, as always, I love having you on the show.
I always enjoy being here.
And best of luck with the show and the run. I hope it sells out every night.
That would be delightful.
It would be delightful. That was Ken Webster with Hyde Park Theater and his show Caught. Opens tomorrow, plays through, what's the closing date? Because I didn't write it down.
September 23rd.
September 23rd. For more information, HydeParkTheater.org. And this song is called Work of Art, which is apropos from Everyone's Talking About Jamie. Work of art, you're a perfect work of art. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and guest host Jim Lindsay.
Ta-da!
Jim, have you had a good time so far?
As always.
Well,
nice to be on this side of the microphone, which is the same side if you're a guest.
It pretty much is. I sort of command this side of the table. So we weren't able to talk about it, and we have just a few more moments. And I don't think you can talk about this, but you had some connection with the Outsiders Workshop, did you not?
Yeah. I've been watching it and visiting with ATX Random quite a bit, learning a lot about the process. And, you know, it started way back before COVID. And when it was in workshop formation. And even then it was stood up nicely. But I'll tell you one thing I did get to do with ATX Random that was super fun. And I got to understand the scope of the music better. I got to go see the Jamestown Revival in concert.
Oh, cool.
And they played in New Braunfels. So it was nice, spaced, outdoor during COVID sort of thing to do. And it got me very excited about the style of the show. And I did not get to go to La Jolla to go see the show.
It's La Jolla Playhouse.
Yeah,
in La Jolla, oddly enough.
Yeah, but very excited about the spring. And it's definitely going to be on my list.
Yeah. And you just went to New York.
I did.
What did you see? We just have like 2 minutes. What did you see
that you liked? Saw five shows.
Okay. Name them.
Some Like It Hot for the second time.
Amazing.
Amazing. Masterpiece. Love it.
That is a true example. I have not seen it. I just read and heard a lot about it, but I was not excited when they first announced it because Sugar is Problematic, which is the original Some Like It Hot musical. But they evidently just did a wonderful job of dealing with all those issues in a really
wonderful
way.
Wonderful,
yeah.
Fabulous, good. Wonderful.
So yeah. I rarely change my mind, but I changed my mind about that one. I love
absolutely.
To see it.
I've seen it twice.
And Jay Harrison G was a guest on this show.
Oh, really?
When he was here doing...
Why didn't you have me then?
Because I had Nicole. She got to wear the kinky boot.
Oh,
he brought
a
kinky boot
when that tour came through.
Yeah.
Right. I saw that tour. That was awesome.
Me too.
Yeah, delightful. Let's see. Grey House, which has closed, which I absolutely loved. I really wanted to see a thriller on Broadway. I hadn't in a long time. Loved that. Let's see. Here Lies Love.
No, yeah, I saw that off Broadway. Yeah. Did you stand or sit?
I stood.
Good for you.
Yeah, and then I went to London and saw Guys and Dolls, but I sat.
Okay.
That was an immersive also.
Yeah.
And standing's better. If you can stand
standing
for a couple,
is better.
Standing's better. Being a part of it is better.
I'm not the kind of person that would think that would be true, but it's true.
Yeah. I love the standing, love the show. Don't really care for Imelda Marcos though, after that show.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I thought the off-Broadway, she was shown rather sympathetically, but...
I think they made some changes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
See, maybe.
The Cottage. I saw The Cottage.
Okay.
Which stars Alex Moffat, Laura Bell Bundy, and Eric McCormack, and directed by Jason Alexander.
Yes, I saw that, and I meant to get Jason. I may still get Jason on the show.
Oh, I'll come back for that.
He'd be on the phone.
Yeah, I think that's four, but there were five. There's another one in there.
Amazing. Well, it sounds like a great trip. I'm getting my New York thrills vicariously these days, so thank you for doing that, and thank you for co-hosting on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, next week, hopefully, we're going to have Def Austin Theater on the show, and all that jazz. Coming up next is Lights, Camera, Austin with Robert Sims as part of Austin's Community Radio Hour. And then I will be back next week with my co-host, guest co-host Carl Gonzalez, when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And this is from a show called Ride, and it's about Annie Londonderry, who rode around the world on a bicycle. So it's called Ride. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
It's just arrived on the scene, a new miraculous, spectacular pedal power cycle machine. Why not take one for a spin? It's the latest craze. You can get from Massachusetts to Ohio in a matter of days. So let the getaway begin. Don't be deterred. It's construction's far from random.